Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Well, let's start here, Adam. What was your reaction when you saw that Rich Bisaccia, special teams coordinator and associate head coach for the Green Bay Packers, was stepping down when it was announced last night?
Yeah, well, he had thought about doing it last year, apparently. And so he does it this year. I know that people, he felt like he failed Matt LaFleur last year. Obviously, there were some special teams issues this year, more special teams. So if he felt like he failed him last year, he certainly probably felt maybe a similar way this year. And look, I think we've seen it across the league with a lot of guys, veteran coaches this offseason. You see some of the ages of these coaches. It feels like it's getting younger all the time, and the game is changing. Some of the older coaches, Jeff Statlin. How old is Rich Bisaccia, by the way?
65.
Okay. Jeff Statlin, 62 or 63, stepped away. Vic Fangio thought about it doing 68. Like, he's in the range where in your 60s, it's a hard job. Like, you know, do you want to do it or not? And obviously he thought about whether he wanted to do it last year, and he stayed on. And he goes now. What were you saying, Chewy?
A special teams coach, that's not easy. Because you think all the units you have to be in charge of, it's not like coaching tight ends. You know? You got kickoff return, you got punt return, you got all this stuff, and you got to be creative. So I could see that. I mean, how quickly you think he moves on, though? Because he said he's not retiring.
Yeah. Sometimes coaches, sometimes they take a year and kind of recharge the battery. And I don't know whether you were talking about his contract, whether he did or didn't have time left. You know, I'm sure money's not a major issue right now for him at this stage of his career. He's done pretty well over time, and he'll work again, make more money. Money's going up on these coaches. So that's not an issue, and he still is a good coach, no matter what. You know, no matter what people in Green Bay think, they may not like him and like all the results, but he's a good coach. You can't argue that. So there'll be more work for him. There'll be more money for him, and sometimes, you know, if you're doing that right now, stepping aside and late February, my guess would be. I mean, either you have something else, which I doubt, or you're taking the year off, and then you come back next year, and you'll be hired right away.
So,
next year.
And it is Adam Schefter is joined. We talk to Adam Schefter every Wednesday. It's brought to you by Wendorf and Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, Keller Williams helps people make their own big moves every day. Trust and knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. So, with it happening this late. What are the Packers' options right now? Their assistant was hired away to be the special teams coordinator in Cleveland. So happening this late in the game when a lot of the coaches have been hired and we're getting kind of toward the end of the coaching carousel, I know some staffs have to be filled out, but what options do the Packers have looking for special teams coordinators?
Well, that's the part that I found unusual, that the assistant left as well earlier in the offseason. I don't have the answers. Honestly, I didn't make calls in their special teams last night. But like, if they knew he was leaving, why'd they let their assistant coach go? And if they let the assistant coach go, then why did they not make sure that he was staying? Like, there are some unanswered questions that I can't answer for you this morning that you just wonder about in my own mind. But I will say this, that February 18th, 19th? I don't even know the date.
18th.
February 18th. It's not like you can't go find a coach on February 18th. You know, if your coach quits on May 18th, you go find somebody. It's not ideal, but you go do it. You know, these staffs have found their ways, but it could get done, and it will get done, and they'll find a special teams coach and go make it happen.
40 days after the Packers lost to the Bears, it is an unusual time for there to be a coaching change.
That's the part that strikes me, Jen. Like, you know, this guy was going to step down. Why did it take this long? Like that's my question. If I were me, like, what happened here? Why now? Like, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah gets fired, you know, a month after. Why a month later? Like, I had heard that could happen, you know. Like, okay, but why did we wait that long? What's the deal? So anyway, that's the situation.
And I do think there is some concern for Packers fans, or at least there should be after they get over the glee, apparently, of Rich Bisaccia stepping down.
I don't get that, but okay. I don't get that.
Yeah, there's
okay.
a lot. Yep. There's and again, look at them. The units have underperformed, right? We rattled off the numbers earlier as far as ranked 20th, ranked. They've always been in the bottom 10 as far as special teams go for the last 4 years. So I understand that there is frustration from the fan base, and it is warranted. But Rich Bisaccia, as the coordinator, obviously has taken the brunt of that criticism. Here's what I will say. Very recently, Brian Gutekunst and company have lauded, have praised, have heaped praise on Rich Bisaccia, even going so far as to saying he is a big culture guy, that he contributes to the culture in Green Bay. Yeah. With his absence now, where does culture come from? You've been around a lot of teams, you've been around a lot of coaches, GMs, all of that type of stuff. Where does culture generally come from?
I think that's a big ambiguous question.
It's what I do, Adam. Trying to just open ended, man.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a simple black and white answer for that question, Jen. I would say culture comes initially from ownership, and that's a different culture. I think it comes from the mood that the assistant coach or the head coach sets with his assistant coaches. I think it comes from the leaders in the locker room. Like, you can get culture from a lot of places. And the best culture is always around winning teams, shockingly, right? When you win, I always hear about how good the culture is. Like, and then when you don't win, the culture is not as good. Like, winning, you know, where does culture come from? Winning, first and foremost. Now, how do you get to winning? Now we're back to the point of having good owners and a good head coach and good players, but it's amazing how strong the culture is when you're winning. And I think Jonathan Gannon is the defensive coordinator replacement for Jeff Hafley. He'll bring some of his own culture, and whoever they hire as a special teams coordinator, he'll bring some more culture and player changes that they make this year. They'll bring in some guys, they dress, there'll be more culture. The culture is always being adjusted and moving around. So it's not Chewy, as a player, where does culture come from? I want to hear what a former player says about that.
Well, I can tell you that player culture doesn't come from coaches, because every time they came into a locker room, you kind of felt uncomfortable, and it's kind of like a parent going into a 13-year-old boy's bedroom. They're like, get out of here. I don't want you in here. They don't want any part of it. So That was kind of confusing, because I'm with you, Adam.
What about a veteran preference? Because you guys had a lot of veterans, too.
Yeah, we did have. Yeah, but still, it's like, I didn't want my dad in my bedroom when I was 14 years old.
Yes, we got that. That's been covered.
You have your own showers. Go shower in there, coaches. Don't come over by us. So I don't know, but that I think was a really weird response from Goody and the organization. Like, I don't know. I'm with Adam. It's just hard to explain, and that's the problem with not being transparent as a team. Why can't they just say maybe they were going to remove the associate head coach tag and give it to Gannon, and he didn't like that. So who the hell knows?
Smart 18, the union for Wisconsin's sheet metal workers. If you want to earn more and build a real career in the trades, this is where it starts. Better pay, incredible benefits, real training, real representation. This isn't just a job. It's a future. Learn more. Smart18.work. And to that culture point, Adam, the Packers, again, under Brian Gutekunst, in this iteration of the Packers since they made the transition to Jordan Love at quarterback, they've been the youngest team in the NFL each of the last three seasons to try to improve that culture. Do they have to bring in more veterans?
Well, by the way, that's a culture, too. You know, it's a culture that you decide to have, make a conscientious decision. And at some point in time, some of these players up, and you have to keep them around so that you're not the youngest team in the league and you're a little bit more seasoned and a little bit more experienced, and maybe that this will be the year for that as well. Sure, they could use some. Look, they're still searching for ways to get to the next level. They haven't found it yet, whatever that is. If that's acquiring some veterans in free agent, going out and getting a an experienced voice, an experienced player in the room, then they got to go do that. But clearly, they got to find what has been missing there the last few years.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All right, I want to turn to the Combine, which is next week in Indianapolis. I assume you will be there because you are always there. From a Packer standpoint, we are well aware that, like, it's Brian Gutekunst's show. Coaches don't even go at this point. What do you make of the way that Brian Gutekunst and company have addressed the Combine? It's his show. He's going to go. He's going to talk to the candidates. He's going to talk to the athletes. He and his scouting team are going to be. Is that pretty standard now in the NFL? That's how teams are handling the Combine?
I think it's becoming more and more standard where teams stay away from the Combine. Like, as an example, the Jaguars this year, okay? Their coaches aren't going. Their front office isn't going. The scouts and medical people are going. Okay. The Rams never send their coaches. Every organization approaches differently. And I think we're going to see more and more of teams sending just their medical staffs and their scouts. I think that's the future of this. I know front offices go, and it's really the unofficial start to the offseason where there begin to be meetings with agents about players they want to keep and then flirting about players who could be free agents. I know the tampering period doesn't begin till Monday, March 9th, but let's be real, you know, that those conversations are already ongoing. So the Combine has evolved, and I just think it's going to be going to a place over time to where more and more people, more and more teams will be sending fewer and fewer people to the Combine. The people that have to be there are the medical people, and I would say, you know, some of the top scouts. You know, Goody, at his heart, is a scout. That's in his DNA. And so he wants to be there. That's what he knows. Just like most GMs want to be there, but not every GM.
Adam, has it been devalued?
No, it's just evolved. It's not devalued, okay. Chewy. It's evolved over time. And, you know, it's just how it is. Like, the Combine is its own animal. And it wouldn't surprise me over time, like, if all of a sudden they're just broadcasting it. By the way, I don't even know how that works now with the ESPN and NFL Network now. Like, so is the Combine on ESPN here, NFL Network? And, like, I don't even know how that works. And like, a lot of these teams, they like to just watch it. Like, there are some GMs I know that they're there for a day or two to take a couple of meetings. They go back, and then they watch the Combine on TV because they don't want to be in Indianapolis for a week doing work when there are things that they need to get done around the office.
All right, Adam, I know your Pick'em League doesn't start until the players, but this is always a big week on the PGA Tour.
It starts the Arnold Palmer.
Palmer.
Changed this shit.
Okay.
When is that? Is that next week?
No. I think next week is the Doral? Whatever it's it used to be the Honda, so whatever they're calling the one at PGA National. And then I believe it's the week after that, and then we get to the players. So this week, though, Adam, it's Riv. It's Riviera. It's one of the biggest weeks on PGA Tour. Yeah. You're going to be watching, paying attention, doing some scouting for your Pick'em League?
I'm watching golf. I love doing that. Like, in the off season, like this found time on Sundays. We're sitting around. It's cold on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched some golf this weekend. Yes,
you making some notes. Yeah, making some notes about who you want to take early, who's looking good.
Yeah. I love that. I know Jen does too.
Huge fan. Can't wait. Trying to get to the Masters this year, Adam. Pitched a little feature waiting to get it greenlit.
Oh, you've never been? You've never been, Jen?
Never been.
Well, maybe you should show a little more enthusiasm during these Adam Schefter golf segments, and maybe that'll help.
If my enthusiasm level during the Adam Schefter golf segments had anything to do with me getting to the Masters, I would. But those two things have literally nothing to do with one another. Yes, Adam, very excited at the possibility of going to the Masters for the first time. So we are going to keep our fingers crossed there. Adam, we really appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. I'm very much looking forward to seeing your reports from the Combine. I know it's a big exchange of information. You're touching base with a lot of people, a lot of touch points, and always seems to be a blast. I know it's a grind. I know it's a lot of work, just like Super Bowl week, right? Up early, staying up late.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. Not a problem.
You got a great. You got a great gig. I don't stay up late. I don't go to the parties.
Yeah. Not for me. But I will be next week. Next week when we talk, I'll be from Indianapolis. Yes, that'll be happy.
Awesome. Adam Schefter is so great. Joins us each and every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great one, sir.
Thank you, guys.